Death has died. I tell you, that's a good death call. Get a phone. Guess what? Death died. And that's so right, isn't it? That's what this week is about. You know, I think sometimes most of us here have been in church all these years, and all of us know about Easter and the resurrection, and because he rose from the dead, well, then, you know, he defeated Satan and death. And, you know, we believe all this stuff up here, but to realize that, and we're going to be talking about today a little bit, that, you know, what this week really means to us. This is a great, great week for the Christian people, all of us. You hear it called like Easter week. I say that often. This is Easter week, Holy Week, Passion Week, just depending on, you know, how liturgical the church might be where you go. But all these names talking about this very same week. It begins on Palm Sunday. Of course, that's that day Jesus got on the little donkey and rode in to the city of Jerusalem. And you read about that, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But it's in John. It tells it was palm leaves. They waved the little palm leaves, and they put out palm branches. And he rode into Jerusalem and cleansed the temple. And, of course, that begins Holy Week. That begins the Easter week. That begins Passion Week. Now, I know you're on page 931, or hope you, if you're not, you will be there in a moment. But if you look over on page 965, it's in the neighborhood. I want to show you something you might be interested in knowing, yet you might already know it. Where do we get all these names, like Passion Week? Why is it called Passion Week? Well, let me show you in the Bible, we're going to be reading about Passion Week in a moment back in Luke's Gospel, but in the chapter, in Acts chapter 1, we'll just look down in verse 3 because of time. I'll show you the word. You know, where do we get all this stuff? Well, in chapter 1, Acts chapter 1, verse 3 says, to whom he, that is Jesus, also presented himself alive after his suffering, by many infallible proofs, being seen by them during 40 days and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. That little word suffering, if you had your Bible, I'd say underline it. If you want to underline it in that Bible, that's okay, but leave the Bible when you leave, okay? Don't take the Bible home, all right? That word suffering is a translation of a Greek word, and if we had the old King James, the 1611 King James, it uses the word passion. It means passion means to suffer, and it actually comes from this very word in Acts chapter 1 in verse number 3. So when you hear the word Passion Week, sometimes I hear people say, well, it's called Passion Week because of the passion Jesus had on the way to the cross. Well, it is true. Jesus had passion on the way to the cross, but it's deeper than that. It's the suffering that Jesus endured on the way to the cross. His suffering did not begin on the cross. I need to say this for a sermon. This is not even in my Tuesday Bible lunch. My gracious, I'm giving out good information with no offering. I must not do that. But anyway, Passion Week, and I just say that to you because you're going to hear this much this week. You know, we're celebrating Christians. You hear the news people say on TV, Christians are celebrating Passion Week. What are they talking about? Well, they don't probably know what they're talking about. They know it has something to do with Easter, but be that as it may, it's talking about the suffering that Jesus did during this week. Now, well, that little sermonette without an offering, if you'll go back to page 931, I think I'll get that in. Oh, by the way, I do hope this week that you will avail yourself to worship in the many different opportunities we have all about us to worship during the Easter week, Holy Week, Passion Week. And we have one at our church. We don't promote things we do. This is not a First Baptist meeting. This is a Jesus meeting. But when we do have opportunities that might be good for you, we have the Maundy Thursday Lord's Supper service back in the worship center behind us here on Thursday night. We have it every year. And not many Baptist churches have the Maundy service. That's more of a Methodist thing or a Presbyterian thing or a liturgical thing, and yet some do. But we do. Doesn't mean we're better or worse. It just means that's what we do. And it's a beautiful service. Jimmy will have both the 9:30 and 11 o'clock choir all rounded up, so it'll be good. And I'm going to be preaching this year at that service. And John has sinus infection. Would you believe that? And he can't talk. I mean, brother, he's shut down. But he don't even feel like talking. So he let me know this morning that I need to do the Thursday service and two of his funerals. So I thought, well, you know, the title of my message, can you put the title of my message back up? Can you put that back on the screen? Can you do that? Have y'all gone to lunch? Okay, they're gone. Well, if you remember, it said, is it up? There it is, A Busy Tuesday. All right, you can take it down now. Thank you. I'm looking at the wrong screen. I'm watching my screen. Yeah, there it is. Thanks so much. I gave it that title last Friday, A Busy Tuesday. Little did I know when I got up on this Tuesday, it was about to be a busy Tuesday. When John called, and I could hardly hear him, and he said, Dad, I can't do it. You go. I said, can't do what? He said, well, I have a funeral in the morning at 10 o'clock. Can't do it. I said, oh, okay. And he said, I got a funeral Friday. I'm not going to be able to do that. I said, okay. He said, Thursday night, I'm not going to be able to do that. I thought he was resigning. I didn't know what he was doing. I said, I thought, I'm going to have a busy Tuesday. You say, well, this stuff's not till Wednesday and Thursday and Friday. Correct. But this will shock some of you. We actually have to prepare this stuff. It's not like Jimmy's job. The music is already written. We have to get this stuff up. Now, boy, have I gone all over the world today. But anyway, here we are. And you know what Jesus did on Sunday, Palm Sunday. And then on Monday, of course, he got in there and cleansed that temple. And he taught the Passover crowds. And then on Tuesday, he continued to contend with the Jewish rulers and continued to teach the Passover crowd. But I want us to look at one of the things that Jesus did on Tuesday of this very week, Passover week, Passion week. The tremendous thing. And, this is such a busy time in Jerusalem. Jewish people, as much as possible, will be there. It'll be just shoulder-to-shoulder people during Passover there. And so this is a setting that Jesus does. And he's doing this teaching. And look with me, I'm on page 931 in Luke chapter number 20. And we'll just pick up in verse 27. Interesting thing. It says, then some of the Sadducees who deny that there is a resurrection came to Jesus and asked him. Now, I know you don't have your Bibles, take notes, but if you can just remember something. In Acts chapter 23, in verse number 8, it's a very interesting verse. It has good information in it. And that verse, in fact, I'll just flip over here and read that verse, means I've chased every rabbit there is here today. Acts chapter 23, verse 8. But this is important that we understand. It says, for Sadducees say that there's no resurrection. Sadducees didn't believe in a resurrection. They neither did they believe in angels, the Sadducees, not the Pharisees. Pharisees believed in a resurrection. They believed in not the Sadducees. They believed there was no resurrection, no angels, or no spirit. No Holy Spirit. But the Pharisees confessed all that, both. So, going back now to our scripture, it's very, very interesting. Here are these Sadducees, it says, who deny that there is a resurrection, and they came to Jesus and they asked him a question. Now, look at this question they asked him, and I'll come back to that in a moment. They said, Teacher, Moses wrote to us that if a man's brother dies, having a wife, and he dies without children, his brother should take his wife and raise up offspring for his brother. Now, they said, now there were seven brothers, and the first took a wife and died without children. The second took a wife and also died childless. The third took a wife in like manner, all seven. And they left no children and died. Last of all, the woman also died. Therefore, now look at this question they're asking. In the resurrection, now remember, they don't believe in the resurrection. Have you ever had people ask you a question and you knew they weren't really asking you a question? Are y'all dead? Jimmy just sang, death has died. A lot of times when people ask a question, they're not asking a question. They're making a point. They're getting their idea across. Or they're trying to trick you into some kind of deal. Now, the very first verse, verse 27, said Sadducees didn't even believe in a resurrection. They said, now Jesus in the resurrection. Of course, they don't believe in it. They said, I thought that was very interesting. Y'all didn't think much of that. But then, therefore, whose wife shall she be? All say, okay. Jesus answered and said to them, the sons of this age marry and are given in marriage. But those who are counted worthy to attain that age and the resurrection from the dead neither marry nor are given in marriage, nor can they die anymore. For they are equal to the angels and are sons of God, being sons of the resurrection. Well, that's quite a little encounter he had with these Sadducees. Now, we're going to focus on verse 37 and verse 38 just in our little time together, because the answer that Jesus gave them is very, very relevant to us. You know, I fear many times we read the Bible, read a story like that, and think, well, you know, it happened a long time ago, and Sadducees didn't even believe in a resurrection. They're trying to trick Jesus, and, you know, here's what Jesus had to say, and boop, we go on from that. But, you know, if we would just, and we all, God gave us all brains. I mean, we do have minds to think about, you know, what's going on here, and then kind of maybe dig a little deeper than just the black ink on the white paper and realize how this thing applies to us in our day. And boy, does this come out big time in verse 37 and in verse 38. In verse 37, we read in just a moment, Jesus makes a very important statement that has much to do with us today, and that is, our existence does not end with death. Jimmy just sang that. He obviously read, I sent this to him last Friday, and he realized where I was going with that. You know, many people have this idea that, you know, death just is kind of the end of our existence. It's all over. You know, we go to funerals, people have died. Well, it's all over. Well, but it's not all over. And you say, well, that's, you know, and that's very encouraging. That's what this week is about. Notice how Jesus explains something. In verse 37, he said, but even Moses, he's illustrating now, Jesus, great illustrator. Even Moses showed in the burning bush passage. Now, that's back in Exodus chapter 3. Most of you know right where that is. Moses walked up the bush. The bush wouldn't, it just kept burning. Was not consumed. He said, Moses showed in the burning bush passage that the dead are raised when he called the Lord, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Now, let me just, you don't have to turn back because I want you to stay where you are. Let me just flip back here to Exodus chapter number 3 very quickly and read just maybe that one little verse, because it's so interesting. Because in the burning bush story back in Exodus chapter number 3, what happens is God identified himself to Moses as the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. Let me just read you the verse. He said to Moses, do not draw near this place. Take your sandals off your feet, for the place where you stand is holy ground. Moreover, God said, now here's what God said, I am the God of your father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, God of Jacob. And, of course, Moses hid his face, for he was afraid to look upon God. Here's the important thing. He didn't say, I was the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. He said, I am, the present tense. And so over in Luke, as he gives us this record, God revealed himself to Moses as the God who is, not the God who was. And so, you know, that says a great thing, like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. You know, we think, well, they all died. Well, you know, physically we all die, as they did, but they weren't dead, and neither will you be. You see, the fact of the matter is our existence does not end with death. I shared with our church in a little detail Sunday before last that this Thursday, 2 weeks ago, I went out to Los Angeles. Joel, our youngest son, asked me to go, and I went out to Los Angeles to visit the Dream Center. I don't know if you've ever heard of the Dream Center or not, but it's an unbelievable ministry there where, you know, Los Angeles is the number one sex trafficking place, city in America. Number one. And this Dream Center is These ladies go there and they go through rehabilitation. Not only that, the street people go for drug addicts, you know, just everything in the world. And it's just a life-changing thing. Over 800 people live in the Dream Center, and they feed 5,000 people a month. But more than, you know, you say, well, it's more than just clothes and food and all that. It's, they have a program to transform people's lives from living like that. And while we were there, we went down one of these corridors. I was in a men's section at that time, and the men were lined up. This thing used to be a Catholic hospital, and they got that from the Catholic Church, and it's just a Christian place now. It's not any denomination sponsored. And the city of Los Angeles has a great respect for the Dream Center and what it does, feeding the street people and all the things they do. But anyway, while I was there, the guy runs that thing, the guy, the pastor of it, I was at this end, and here all these men are just like this big old long hall, and he called for this guy to come give his testimony. And the guy, he was a rough-looking guy, and he stepped out of that long line and came and just got right almost in my face. I really, it was almost kind of a frightening thing. It was the first thing that happened to me that day in the Dream Center. We did a tour of 4.5 hours without stopping. This guy got right in my face, and he began to tell me how his life used to be. And I'll be honest, he shared things with me. He shared sins I didn't know existed. I'm kind of a sheltered soul. But as he was sharing, tears was coming down his cheeks, and he said something very interesting. He said, you know, about 2 days, he'd been in the Dream Center a year, before I came here, he said, I stood on a curb, and my life was so ruined that I thought what I will do is when the next big bus that comes down the street here, I'm just going to jump in front of the bus. The bus will run over me and kill me, and they'll just say, no big deal, another street guy, you know, this is, he was probably drunk or whatever, and he just fell in front of the bus. And he said, I thought I would just end it all. Now, you know, I was thinking about that. Now, I don't think any of you are going to jump in front of a bus. I don't think that. But I do think this, that more people than we might realize have this idea that, you know, when I'm dead, that's just the end. In fact, many people that commit suicide probably would, that's probably their motivation. They just think, if I take my life, then, you know, my existence is over. But that is absolutely not true, which leads us to the second thing that we will look at, which is in verse number 38. All people, and we're going to read it right here in the Bible, whether departed from their earthly bodies or not, still will live forever. So you jump in front of a bus and think it's the end of that. Well, it's the end of that, but it's not the end of you, nor is it the end of anybody else. Look in verse 38. It says, for he is not the God of the dead, but of the living, for all live to him. In other words, no one is annihilated. Now, if you turn over one other place in your Bible, turn to page 943, if you will. Turn to page 943, and you will be in the Gospel of John in chapter number 5. Page 943, John chapter number 5. And when you get to John chapter number 5, if you look down in verse 28, two verses, Jesus says, do not marvel at this. I'm in John chapter 5, verse 28. Do not marvel at this, for the hour is coming in which all who are in the graves will hear his voice and will come forth. Now watch this. Those who have done good to the resurrection of life. Now, it doesn't mean that those people who do good things. It means that those people who have received Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, they now have a new nature. And when we have a new nature, it produces good things. Okay? That's what he's talking about. It says, those who have done good, that is, they have received Christ, they have the new nature, and that new nature produces good fruit to the resurrection of life. Those who have done evil, now that doesn't mean people who do bad things. It means those people who have not received Christ, they've not taken on a new nature, and, you know, the proof's in the pudding, that's kind of, they're going to produce those kind of fruits, what's going to happen to them to the resurrection of condemnation. You see, our our works simply reflect our nature. You know, what's the Bible say? Out of the abundance of the heart, mouth speaks. You know, what is a person? Is a person what they think? Is a person what they eat? Is a person what they do? I mean, how do you know? Well, you know, who we are, I mean, who I am, who you are, you can know by just seeing, you know, what's being done. Like, what is the fruit of that person's life? And what I was thinking is I thought about this entire Passion Week, Holy Week, Easter Week. I thought about, you know, Palm Sunday, everybody talks about what Jesus did on Palm Sunday. But on Tuesday, I mean, here is a tremendous thing that Jesus taught this crowd. And I think Passion Week is a perfect week to think about your eternity. I know this is kind of heavy. You know, this is not normal Tuesday Bible lunch stuff, but we need to hear it. We all need to think about our eternity. You say, well, why do we need to think about our eternity? I'm busy with the here and now. Well, let me tell you why you need to think about your eternity. You're going to spend the rest of your life there. Folks, we're not going to spend the rest of our life here. Out here somewhere, this thing, this body we live in, dies. I mean, it is. It's appointed unto man wants to die. Okay, we understand that. Time to be born, time to die. Oh, Bible teaches that. But we don't die. And we're going to spend the rest of our life in eternity. And to me, this is a week where, like in my own journey, I reflect back this week on people. I reflect back on the pastor who came to our home, and my mother was there when he shared with me how to be a Christian. And I think this week about people who've impacted my life down through the journey a lot. And, I just kind of relook at my own spiritual self and realize what Jesus Christ did for me on this week. And that's what we're celebrating this week. And I know Easter's fun time and families get together and kids are going to come down here Saturday morning and have an Easter egg hunt. But let me tell you what, before they have the Easter egg hunt, by ages, we have to do it by ages. The big younguns go out there and push little younguns around, so we don't do them that way. We just put them out there by ages. But before they go out to hunt those eggs, they're going to hear the true Easter story. That this week, folks, this week is the deal. You know, we do the best we can to do whatever we can while we're in this life. But there's life beyond this life. There's an eternity out there. And I pray that this Easter week, this Passion Week, this Holy Week, that you know beyond a shadow of a doubt, not because you're good or because you've belonged to some church or you've taken communion or you've been baptized or you give money. I do pray that everybody in Tuesday Bible Lunch in your life has come to a time where you've received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. And you know, because you've put your trust in Him, that when your time comes to step out in eternity, you're going to spend your eternity with God and those who are His. And Father, to me, I know, Lord, it's kind of heavy for Tuesday Bible Lunch. It's more like just preaching a sermon. But God, you know, really in the end, it's all that matters. I thank you for Jesus. I thank you, God, that before the foundations of this world, you had made a plan to take care of our sin debt. And I thank you, God, that we don't pay our sin debt. Jesus paid it all. You made him who knew no sin to be sin for us so that we can become the righteousness of God in him. God, thank you for that. I pray everyone here have a good Easter. I pray it will be a time of deep gratitude to you for what you did on that morn when that tomb became empty. Jesus just not only came out of that tomb, he came out of his grave clothes. It's just like he walked through walls that the doors were closed. His resurrected body was so different. He just kind of came out of the grave clothes. He came out of the tomb, and his body was so different. He did all of that, God, to show all of us that Jimmy sang it well. Death is dead, and I thank you for that. Give safety to those who travel, and God, give us a good remainder of this week. In Jesus' name, amen.